number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great day with great excitement about the eclipse. More exciting and actually more fascinating and maybe even more complex than the presidential election, though the Trump campaign has actually posted on Truth Social an image that they basically give credit to President Trump for the glories of the eclipse. How does it compare to the level of excitement that people experienced with the basketball championships for South Carolina? Or to Taylor Swift? Well, we'll see. There's a different sound quality that people have when they are responding to the eclipse. And one of the things that I think is noteworthy is that a lot of people have gotten these numbers imprinted on their minds that this is the only eclipse of this kind that we'll have, that will be visible here in the United States for 90 years, 300 years, many, many years. They actually are going to have another total eclipse in 2026. So in the middle of the new president's next term, or the current president if he's reelected. And again, is that something to wait for and to watch for? Look, having people amazed and uplifted and delighted because of the wonders of nature, I'm not sure that's a negative thing or a thing to deride, though listening to some of the media professionals trying to be delirious with joy and excitement over this very natural event is, well, it has its positive and less positive aspects. Meanwhile, on the Medved Show today, we're going to be speaking to Jonathan Allen about the ongoing political campaign with a great deal of attention now focused. And it's almost as if the moon, a much smaller body, much less powerful body than the sun, is coming up and slowly, slowly, slowly covering the face of the sun. Well, that's Robert F. Kennedy Jr. He has only a fraction of the support that Donald Trump has or that Joe Biden has, and yet he is getting a great deal of the attention over the weekend. Why is that? And what does that say about who his supporters really are? There's a statement on abortion, as promised by President Trump. It's, I think, politically a very smart statement by President Trump. Does it align him emotionally or substantively or philosophically with the people who have been working in the pro-life cause for so many years? No. No, because the position of President Trump is very easily simplified. It's leave it to the states. We will get to that on the Michael Medved Show. We'll also be speaking about to someone, an American who's lived in Israel for many years and worked in Israel and taught in Israel, and a great presidential historian, by the way, Gil Troy, who's a friend of this show. Has a an extremely important and relevant piece is why is Israel so happy? This goes along with that World Happiness Survey ranking, where Israel is ranked the fifth happiest country in the world, the happiest non-Scandinavian country in the world. And the United States is ranked 23rd, and Israel among young people, people under 30, is ranked the second happiest country in the world. What does that happiness have to do with the recent decisions that have been made by the Israeli government about getting out of Khan Yunus? Does that mean they're giving up on the war? No, it does not. It means they are trying to continue a process by which they've returned as many troops as possible to normal civilian life. Because remember, most of those 360,000 young men and young women who were called up for Miluim, for reserve duty. Most of them, a slight majority, have gone home already. And some of them do go home from time to time on leave. Thank God, so far, the fears that people had about some kind of devastating Iranian strike against the United States, that hasn't materialized. But in the shadow war with Iran, there was just a so far unheralded U.S. victory, and a very notable one. Max Boot writes about that. We'll be talking about that on the Michael Medved Show. Okay, first of all, in Mazatlan, I believe that's in Mexico. It might be New Mexico. Is there a Mazatlan, New Mexico? In any event, this was reported on CNN at 11:07 Pacific Standard Time, just moments ago. Some of the excitement that you can share just a few minutes too late. Here it comes.
The first totality for this total solar eclipse hitting Mazatlan, Mexico, as we speak. It looks like dusk there. A lot of folks with their phones out. You hear cheering and celebrating. A unique moment in this celestial dance we get to experience.
And this is the first moment. We are seeing this amazing corona of the sun, including what appears to be a solar flare there on the lower right-hand side.
We're witnessing a moment unlike any other. This doesn't happen, as far as we know, just about anywhere else in the universe, according to the experts that we've just talked to. And you heard the crowd there celebrating in Mazatlan. Moments of joy. You saw children running around smiling. You saw people with their phones taking pictures. I heard people yelling in Spanish, look at the eerie horizon, because the horizon is still lit up. And these are now the rare, special minutes of totality where you get about 4 minutes of this sight that you won't see anywhere else. And that doesn't just happen. It is rare and obviously a very special moment to reflect on how lucky we are to join in this experience together and to be on this earth where magical stuff like this happens.
Okay, magical stuff like this. It also happened and hit people in Lindale, Texas. There are events going on over 3 days. Actually, one of our best friends just traveled with her son to Dallas, Texas, where the cloudy skies seemed to clear so they could appreciate the eclipse. This is the report from Lindale. Listen.
In the sky, the cosmic phenomenon.
Oh, number 15.
Is coming to Texas and you won't believe your eyes. Come and see. After all these years, the moon and the sun are gonna intersect in the sky. Come and see. If only my ancestors could see this occurrence, it would surely blow their minds. Come and see. Load up the family, put some gas in the car, and get a ticket to a park in the pines.
Gaze upon obscura.
You'll have to wear these glasses to see.
Gaze upon obscura.
Okay, putting everything to music. So how does the hysteria compare very directly to a Taylor Swift concert? And what about the moving and uplifting chorus of that song from Lindale, Texas, that you just heard? We'll be speaking about that, speaking about the little-known facets of the ongoing Kennedy crusade. Is it gathering steam? Is he actually going to appear on the ballots of enough states to matter? We'll get to all of that, all coming up on The Medved Show.
Here's a special discount, 50% off just for being a MedHead annual member. Join today at Michael Medved.
Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun. And I say, it's all right.
Now, shouldn't it really be, if it's to celebrate the totality of the eclipse, there goes the sun? Or maybe, oh, here comes the sun when it comes back, which I believe it has pretty much everywhere. Lyndale, Texas is a town where they went all out. They had events that took place over 3 days. They had a huge tourist influx because it was considered to be a really very good place to watch the eclipse. And so the town prepared a song to mark the event. The song is called A Total Eclipse of the Park, because I think they had one particular park where the people were gathered to watch this epical event. Here is what the chorus to that indelible melody sounded like. Listen.
Don't lose them all, you'll miss everything. But now I can't see nothing at all. I think I'm gonna miss the total eclipse of the park.
The total eclipse of the park. Look, you gotta give them credit. I was kind of wondering, just listening in, what are they going to rhyme with anxious? And they rhyme picnic blankets. Well, that's pretty close. Then there's Al Roker on NBC, and some of the delirium. This is clip 55.
Almost, Buster. There it goes. Yeah. We saw, oh, look at this. Look at this. Whoa. Yeah. Oh, look at that. We got our glasses off right now, Lester, looking at the umbra, and it is just amazing. Oh, look, we can see Venus. We can see Venus over there. Oh, wow. All right, is this exciting?
Yes.
It's amazing. You guys excited?
Yes, I'm so excited.
Was it like anything you expected?
I've never experienced anything like this.
Nothing.
Nothing
in your entire life?
No.
In your whole long entire life?
In my whole long
entire
life.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my. Lester, this is, you will, it's unbelievable. And the skies are crystal clear right now. It's like a sign from God. Oh, one of the great things about this is that it's a shared experience.
So many people who view the eclipse for the first time, 60%, get emotional. Well, guys, that was me. Tears were coming out of my eyes as I viewed this for the first time. I was trying to get a few glimpses while I was watching other people's reactions. And
the one thing about it that is amazing is that again, people look at what is happening in the middle of the day like this, as the sun being slowly obscured and then being dark and it's gone for a few moments and then it comes back. It happens every day. I mean, we live in an amazing universe that is very well set up. the laws of the universe that include things like total eclipses, it's even better and more perfect than the U.S. Constitution, which is pretty good. And some of the reaction you heard there to the eclipse. The only thing recently that seems to have really equaled that or gotten some of that same energy and inspiration and delirium is the reaction to, well, a Taylor Swift concert. Okay, and pretty good, and follows the idea she's not there, and then all of a sudden she is there, and there are magical moments, actually, because she's generous with her time and her creativity and her achievement, a couple of hours, and then she's eclipsed again and moving on to the next town. Now, some of it we are listening to Here Comes the Sun, which, of course, is a wonderful, beloved song by the Beatles, by John Lennon. And the other half of that musical talent team is also known for expressing her euphoria. Yoko Ono's getting on in years. She's up past Joe Biden territory. And here is just to give us a little bit more of the flavor of ecstatic euphoria. Here is Yoko Ono in one of her solo concerts, which are all sold out, by the way. Here she is. Okay, meanwhile, what is Fox News going to do to cover the solar eclipse in its own unique and distinctive and predictable way? They're going to link the issue to illegal immigration, of course. Listen, this is clip 13.
A rare celestial event collides with a policy failure on the ground. The southern border will be directly in the path of totality today when the moon covers the sun for nearly 4 minutes. And welcome to a brand new hour of America's Newsroom. I'm Dana Perino. We are 1 hour closer.
We are. We are.
That's a lot of buildup.
That's right. I'm Bill Hamburg. Good morning at home. But that is team totality on the other side of the wall, by the way.
What a studio they have.
Our folks at Fox Weather are dialed in on this.
So beautiful. So
don't overlook that. Check it out. We are told that officials are bracing for higher traffic than usual, and that means a real opportunity for smugglers and cartels and migrants to come right in.
So the eclipse was part of a conspiracy? Was it a... And on the Michael Medved show, putting the excitement and the hysteria and the total delirium surrounding the eclipse, putting it into context, it was 2017. And I remember that eclipse, of course. I was actually at the radio station at the time, and people from the radio station, I don't know what they had on the air, because everybody walked outside and had the special glasses. It was more visible from Seattle than this current eclipse was. But back in 2017, Fox News made a great deal, of course, of the eclipse, because that's what people are interested in and inspired by and want to learn more about, etc., etc. So Shepard Smith, who was on the air at the time on Fox, had enough of the solar eclipse coverage, and he resorted to sarcasm and exaggerations throughout the day as Fox News covered the event. Listen.
Total eclipse of the sun watch 2017 on Fox News Channel. The excitement must be building and building like fireworks. If I put this here and my phone here, I have a total eclipse of the phone. Fascinating. It's amazing. Oh, my God. The moon has gotten in front of this. Okay, well, I don't know. It's interesting looking. The sun looks a little like the moon up there in my wall. If you mention it, you got to sing it. Where the deer and the antelope play. Wow. Would you look at that? It's a total eclipse of the sun.
And you look up at
the sun. Know this is all it's going to be, right?
Now.
Just a moon over a sun. Oh, the sun's coming back
now. The
cameras
are coming out.
Oh, my goodness. That didn't last long. Yoo-hoo! I want to hear more. No, because now you can look at the thing. It's covered, so you can look at it. Oh, my God. The sun is returning. Jalapeno. How was it? Response. Weird. Dark. Cold. Another dark. Amazing. I love nature. Amazing. I'm going to die now, and we hope that doesn't happen. Want to see a total eclipse of this monitor? It's totally eclipsed. They're not going to have a what is it?
Total eclipse of the sun.
Not a total eclipse of the sun down.
Okay, again, is that why he parted company with Fox? I don't think so. I actually thought that having one a little bit cynical voice is kind of important. Now, I don't know if what was posted on social Truth Social, President Trump's media platform, he posted a video that culminated with his profile and his distinctive profile with the hair, and you recognize it's Donald Trump, but his profile gradually covers the sun itself, just like the moon does. And it was complete with the music that is well known from the beginning of Stanley Kubrick's 2001 A Space Odyssey, the music by Richard Strauss from Also Sprach Zarathustra. Now, what if he used this music from the moment he walks out at his rallies? Zarathustra, the music was inspired by a book by Friedrich Nietzsche, who wrote about Superman. He did, the Übermensch. And he also, Zarathustra, of course, was an ancient religious leader who was a most prominent religious advocate of what's called Manichaeism, which is the entire world is a battle between good and evil, all good, all evil. And it's a pretty effective opening for anything, but I am imagining that after today and using this on the total eclipse of the sun profile that they're using for Truth Social, that should be tempting for President Trump. Also today, he made his long-awaited statement on abortion and basically took the message that leave it to the states, which is really politically by far the most sensible thing he could say if he doesn't want to totally sink the Republican Party in his own campaign. Here was President Trump speaking this morning. Listen.
Many people have asked me what my position is on abortion and abortion rights, especially since I was proudly the person responsible for the ending of something that all legal scholars, both sides, wanted and, in fact, demanded be ended. Roe v. Wade. They wanted it ended. It must be remembered that the Democrats are the radical ones on this position because they support abortion up to and even beyond the ninth month. The concept of having an abortion in the later months and even execution after birth, and that's exactly what it is, the baby is born, the baby is executed after birth, is unacceptable, and almost everyone agrees with that.
Okay, it is unacceptable. People do disagree with that, and nothing in Roe v. Wade. The president clearly hasn't read Roe v. Wade. Roe v. Wade makes a very clear exception for the last stage of pregnancy, which allows the states to ban abortion during the last stage of pregnancy. It's one of the reasons it's so very rare, thank God, as it should be. President Trump went on.
My view is now that we have abortion where everybody wanted it from a legal standpoint, the states will determine by vote or legislation or perhaps both, and whatever they decide must be the law of the land, in this case, the law of the state. Many states will be different. Many will have a different number of weeks, or some will have more conservative than others, and that's what they will be. At the end of the day, this is all about the will of the people. You must follow your heart or, in many cases, your religion or your faith. Do what's right for your family and do what's right for yourself. Do what's right for your children. Do what's right for our country and vote. So important to vote. At the end of the day, it's all about will of the people. That's where we are right now, and that's what we want, the will of the people. Like Ronald Reagan, I am strongly in favor of exceptions for rape, incest, and life of the mother. You must follow your heart on this issue, but remember, you must also win elections to restore our culture and, in fact, to save our country, which is currently, and very sadly, a nation in decline.
Okay. He's saying that despite the fact that the laws in most states where they have been changed in a direction that is more pro-life. There's actually a statement, and it's a challenging statement on President Trump's abortion stance. We will get to that. It's from the former Vice President of the United States, Mike Pence, who actually I'm going to be appearing with him at the big conference on the rise of anti-Semitism and what to do with it at Grove City College in Grove City, Pennsylvania. That'll be on Thursday of this week. But meanwhile, we'll get to the Pence statement on the abortion decision by President Trump. As they put it in National Review, after months spent refusing to stake out a clear position on abortion, Donald Trump announced that he believes the issue should be left to the states to adjudicate, implicitly rejecting a federal ban of the kind that many pro-life activists and lawmakers have embraced in the wake of the historic overturning of Roe v. Wade. We'll be right back.
Michael Medved.
And on the Michael Medved Show, President Trump, in his statement on abortion, used a phrase time and time again. He used it frequently, which was follow your heart, which is interesting because, of course, that's not what you're talking about. What you're talking about is the law. And the law is the law. When he says follow your heart, it sounds close to a libertarian position on abortion, but it's not that. A number of people on the right to life side of things have been felt betrayed, frankly, by President Trump's position, his statement, his opposition to actually having some kind of national ban. The national ban that most people have talked about, the one that Lindsey Graham, for instance, has fought for very hard in the Senate, would be a ban of 15 weeks. And what's ironic about that is that if the court decision, the Dobbs decision, had gone the way that Chief Justice Roberts wanted it to, then you would have still had Roe v. Wade in place. But you would have had it in place with a clear allowance for a restriction, an almost total restriction on abortion during the phases of pregnancy after 15 weeks. And of course, what is really remarkable about all of this is that this entire controversy today, now, there are more abortions going on in America than before the Dobbs decision. The rate of abortion has gone up, and most of that, in fact, nearly all of that increase has been through the medication abortions, the so-called abortion pills. In any event, Mike Pence's statement on President Trump unveiling his abortion position for the campaign. President Trump's retreat on the right to life, says former Vice President Pence, is a slap in the face to the millions of pro-life Americans who voted for him in 2016 and 2020. Today, too many Republican politicians are all too ready to wash their hands of the battle for life. Republicans win on life when we speak the truth boldly and stand on the principle that we all know to be true, that human life begins at conception and should be defended from womb to tomb. However much our Republican nominee or other candidates seek to marginalize the cause of life, I know, says Mike Pence, pro-life Americans will never relent until we see the sanctity of life restored to the center of American law and in every state in this country. Again, that's a statement that, like President Pence, I mean, he is viewing political reality and the political climate in the United States as a secondary concern, because his concern is the idealistic commitment to the principle that life begins at conception, as he articulated there. The difficulty, of course, is that even in very conservative states like Ohio and Kentucky, when people have been given a direct opportunity to vote on very restrictive or less restrictive abortion regulations, the very consistent and very lopsided victory margin has been on the side of less restrictive abortion regulations. Meanwhile, speaking of regulations and threats and something new to worry about, from nature, after the wonders of the total eclipse of the sun, there are headlines now about bird flu. And the New York Times has a reassuring headline: bird flu is not considered a major threat to people, but scientists are ready. Bird flu outbreaks among dairy cows in multiple states and at least one infection in a farm worker in Texas have incited fears that the virus may be the next infection threat to people. The influenza virus called H5N1 is a highly pathogenic, meaning that it has the ability to cause severe disease and death. But though it spread among cows was unexpected, people can catch the virus only from close contact with infected animals, not from other people, federal officials say. It's really about folks who are in environments where they may be interacting with cattle that are infected with this virus, said Dr. Dimitri Dashkalakis, the director of the National Center for Immunization and Respiratory Diseases at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The risk for most everyone else is very low, he added. Right now, the risk assessment hasn't changed, but if it does change, we're going to be pretty quick and pretty transparent about that. Avian influenza is often fatal in birds, but none of the infected cows have died so far. The only symptom in the patient in Texas was conjunctivitis or pink eye, which was also reported in people infected during other bird flu outbreaks. Among birds and animals, the H5N1 bird flu is already a pandemic or a panzootic, with infections observed on every continent except Australia. To date, the virus has not evolved into a form that can spread easily from one person to another, and it may never do so. And as its name indicates, bird flu has primarily been a problem in birds. But it is now spread to a wide range of species, from seabirds and small scavengers like foxes to large mammals like bears and cows. How close do you have to be to a bear to get the bird flu from a bear? There have been sporadic infections in people since 1997, when a cluster of cases appeared in Hong Kong. But most patients worldwide have been in very close contact with infected animals, and generally they did not pass the virus to other people. Let us hope that continues. Do we have a vaccine for bird flu? Yes. They have enough building blocks for vaccines, including adjuvants, substances that can enhance a vaccine strength, to make millions of doses in weeks. I can't wait to hear Robert Kennedy address this. I mean, should people be prepared with these vaccines for bird flu, which can be, again, not easily transmitted, they say, and not always fatal for human beings, but serious enough, and serious enough for cows and bears. How will we know if the virus spreads to people? H5N1 is an influenza virus that is followed by extensive scientific networks that track flu viruses worldwide. We've got our eye on it, and we've had our eye on it for years, Dr. Daskalakis said. These surveillance networks tracked H5N1 even before its surge in birds and animals over the past 2 years. Now they are on high alert. All of this, it just seems to me, is one of the reasons that we have institutions like the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, because anyone who believes that dealing with potential problems like this, which can be a tremendous economic problem, of apparently for people who do raise chickens and turkeys and other birds that are very liable to the disease, and God willing, much less of a problem for human beings, or dogs for that matter. But if bears get it and cows get it, it's worth monitoring. It's also worth monitoring U.S. successes when they occur against Iran, and the latest in the Gaza war and its fate and future for this greatest nation on God's green earth.